Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere, even on a Sunday. Sunday, what are we doing here? This is a day of rest. But it is the Fifth Hour podcast. We thank you for finding it and being a loyal minion and tuning in and downloading, subscribing, the whole thing here on the podcast platform. We do appreciate it. And it's a spinoff of the radio show, the overnight show, and clearly 4 hours each night, not enough, under the cover of darkness. And the great thing about podcasting is it's on whenever you want it. You can listen in the middle of the night, or you can listen early in the morning when the sun's up. You can sit on the beach. You can sit by the lake, in the mountains, in the snow, in the sun. Doesn't matter. And that's the beauty of podcasting. And this a mailbag podcast. We'll mix in a wee bit of pop quiz. But David Gascon is still here. He's not checked out there west of the 405.
No, not at all. In fact, I have a fascinating story that was directed to me, and I pass it along to you. It makes me thank our friend from the greater Lone Star State of Texas. I'm a pilot. The Chinese are up to some interesting stuff with our government. Did you hear about that?
No, you want to fill me in on this, Gascon?
Yes. Vice News actually reported this a few days ago. They said China's government is apologizing because it forced Joe Biden's staff to submit to anal COVID exams. 50 members of Biden's staff were subject to anal penetration on one or more occasions from the Chinese Communist Party doctors.
Well, you got to really make sure the COVID doesn't get up your asshole.
What
very
the
important.
Fuck are we doing, man? I remember I'm a pilot's nice, you know, journal of how he went from the United States to the Orient.
Yeah. Well, is that your favorite 2021 story? Because my favorite 2021 story this week was the Mr. Potato Head story. That is my favorite.
What the fuck, man?
It's a potato, people. What
potato,
are we doing
Coca-Cola,
here?
Oreos. Like, what the fuck are we doing in the United States?
Pretty wild, man. Pretty wild. Pretty wild. But let's get into this, Gascon. Before we get to the mailbag, we've got pop quiz. Time is of the essence, as you know here.
Sure.
Time, you not because of me, I would sit here forever, but you, of course, you claim you have things to do. We have no evidence that is actually the case. But so when I work with you, it's like bobbing and weaving.
It is.
I get a bob and weave when I work with you. All right. So pop quiz, these are random things we found around the internet that are interesting. I will ask Gascon, but really I'm asking you. I'm asking you as a consumer of the podcast to play along in your head. You don't have to speak out loud. If there's other people around, most people listen by themselves. But if you want to give an answer, boom, perfect. All right, here we go. Last month in the United States, there were about 1,400 of these every second.
Right. 1,400 of these?
Every second. Tick, 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 tick.
Can you give me a hint? This is so...
It's involving something that...
Babies.
You have on your possession, and I have on my possession right now.
$1,400 on my
every
possession.
Second. That's loosely related to something that you have in your possession right now, in your pocket. Maybe it's on the table in front of you.
Drop my car keys?
No. It's spam phone calls.
Oh.
Yeah. $1,400 every second. Who the hell is still answering spam calls?
I don't know, but we got a boatload of those during the elections. Did you not?
No, I did not get as many.
What about Texas? Did you get spam Texas?
Oh yeah. Well, I got the, hey, there's a package we're trying to deliver to your residence, and they don't give you your name and all that. They don't say who you are or your address. It's all bullshit.
No.
23% of people feel comfortable flirting here. Oh, okay. That's a place that most people would say, oh, that's kind of odd, but people apparently enjoy a little flirtation.
Library. No, hospital.
No, how about the drive-thru? You ever gone to pick up a Big Mac and fries and been like, hey, that young lady's pretty attractive. I might want to have some French fries with her.
Yeah, you know? Especially at In-N-Out, because you know at least those workers there are getting well paid, too.
Everything being relative, of course, yes. But yeah.
Yeah.
Why? So if you're, if you're a single, now does it work for the guys, too? Are the ladies picking up on the guys at the drive-thru, or is it only the creepy dudes picking up on the ladies? I don't know about that. Or is it all gender-neutral people picking up on gender?
Come on, gender man. Neutral. Come on. Don't do me like that. Oh,
man. I kid because I care, as Myers used to say. But, I was never good at picking up on anybody. I remember, though, back in my big fast food days, there were some attractive ladies that worked at the fast food place, the drive-through window.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I don't think it mattered. Jack in the Box, Carl's Jr., In-N-Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, there's some.
My favorite.
Well, you used to call them guest guy back in the first round draft picks. Just some lottery picks.
Nah, man, no? I don't know. I consider
maybe like second round picks.
Yeah, I consider D1 to be perfect height, perfect weight, and they don't have that. They don't have that
you
fat.
Such a schmuck.
And they don't have that fat gene in them either. Like you could tell the young ones, like they will or they won't have that fat gene in them when they hit 30 and 40.
Uh-huh.
But those are the D1s. Those are the ones you want to keep an eye on. But
you're such a schmuck. I like a little more cushion for the pushing. So I'm not. I'm good. I don't want.
I don't.
But
like,
I don't want like double wide. You know, I don't want a double wide trailer. I don't want that. But you know, I'd be happy with a full size trailer. I'm good with that.
Double
right?
wide trailer. Oh my gosh.
All right, a new report claims the smell of this makes people act more pleasantly towards one another. What is it?
Perfume or cologne?
No, it's coffee, actually.
Wow.
Coffee. I've never had a cup of coffee. I don't mind the smell of coffee, but I don't. Yeah. It doesn't make me pleasant. People at coffee shops are just nice and mellow and. Yeah. 40% of families say they argue about this more than anything else right now. What is it?
Politics.
Internet usage.
Okay. Could be related.
On the Wi-Fi too much. You're playing too many video games on the internet. You're watching too many movies, etc.
Yeah.
About 30% of Americans say this is their favorite thing about the winter.
The attire. No, the snow.
Much snow related. It's the warm, fuzzy socks you wear.
Okay, so is the tire. So I was right.
Yeah. Well, my brother lives in New York. He's lived there for many, many years. And when I first went back to visit him, it was kind of the wintertime. He said, the most important thing. He said, listen to me. He said, you listen to me, Ben. My brother Joe. He said, you listen. You're going to have these socks, these wool socks. All right. Doesn't matter how cold it is. You got these wool socks, you're good. And he was right. I mean, the socks are the key. Keep your feet warm. You're good to go.
Not bad.
Who knew? Yeah. We don't have to worry about that in Tokyo.
No, I don't know. You get people in Southern California, I'm talking about 65, 70 degrees, females wearing UGG boots. Like rock.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like fake California cold.
Thing, yeah.
You know? It's,
I don't fucking get it.
Well, it's also, let's be honest, I mean, well, stereotype, guess, huh? Then I'll stereotype that there's a lot of winter fashion that you cannot wear in California because it's not appropriate. So you try to morph it into fit, you know, it's not Minnesota cold, but it's California cold. So I can wear this.
Yeah.
I was like, please.
The best is when you wear short shorts with UGG boots. Like I've seen females do that a lot.
Like, oh yeah. 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 Well, there's some, well, the stuff I see going to the grocery store, the percentage of people that go to the grocery store to get some eggs wearing pajamas, fascinated to me.
I do that now, too.
Oh, my God. You're so lazy. So lazy. All right. Over half of all men say they would never want their mothers to see this. What is it?
Their photo gallery. Or their Texas.
No, their internet browsing history.
Pretty good. It's pretty much the same.
Yeah. All right. Now the next one, we're doing pop quiz here. The next one, what do 25% of people say they do to help them concentrate when driving in really bad weather?
Put two hands on the steering wheel.
No, they pray. They pray. Mm. Go to a higher power.
Interesting.
Yeah. Have you ever been in such terrible weather that you just pulled over to the side of the road and said, that's it, I'm going to check out for a little bit and wait for this to pass?
No, never.
I have.
No.
Well, actually, that's not technically true. I was driving through from Buffalo down to, in the middle of New York, from Buffalo down to New York City. Anyway, the weather was terrible. It was a big storm, like a lake-driven storm. And I could not see. There was so much water on the road. I couldn't see in front or behind. I could barely see some red lights, like the cars were stopped. I literally stopped on the New York Expressway because the rain was so horrific. I couldn't see anything. And I know you're not supposed to do that, but I'm here to talk about it, so I survived. You know.
Now, have you ever prayed while you're on a flight?
With turbulence, yeah, I've had some, yeah. I don't know. Usually when I go on a flight, I come to terms with I might not make it off the flight. You know? Going in, I'm like, well, this could be the end. You know,
I hate goodbyes.
My weird, ghoulish way of looking at that. So, when I go on the flight, I think, well, this could be the end of it. You know, this would be the game over. But, when I've only had turbulence a few times where it's really nasty.
Yeah,
I've never been on that like flight from Denver to Hawaii where the engine blew up. I've never been on something
four
like that.
4 minutes in.
Well, they're lucky it was 4 minutes in and not out over the Pacific.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Imagine if they were halfway to Hawaii from California, and what would they do then? You know, I guess there are some islands out there we don't know about, but I'm pretty sure there's not runways for a jumbo jet to land on out in the middle of the Pacific.
Unbelievable.
I wonder what I'm a pilot would. He probably knows what they would do in that situation.
Yeah, he does.
Water landing like that guy Sonny, right?
You should reach out to him. Panhandle for another hat, too, while you're at it.
That's a great hat, by the way. That's in the top five hats I've ever gotten. It's got the M on it. It's a beautiful hat.
Yeah,
you're jealous of the hat. The hat's wonderful.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. All right, the average man uses two of these at home, but the average woman uses four. What
two
is
two of these at home?
Yeah, two of these. The average woman uses four.
At home. Razor blades.
No.
Yeah. Well, why not?
Well, some guys don't shave. The answer is pillows.
Hmm.
Yeah. How many pillows do you use?
Four.
you're more like the ladies.
I have two bigger pillows and I have two smaller ones. And then during the course of summertime when it gets really hot and I wake up in the middle of the night, I have to grab the next closest and coldest pillow.
The other side of the pillow.
Yes. I'm always rotating those
pillows. I love cooling pillows, but they don't last that long, so you do have to rotate them. And yeah. I am more of the pillow fiend than the wife. I use pillows more.
Yeah. How many do you have?
I like to be surrounded by pillows. I have three, four. Back in the day, before I was married, I think I had like six pillows. I was like a six pillow guy. I surrounded myself with pillows. At any point, I always had a pillow with, you know, I could just flip it over at any moment.
Yeah.
All right, a few more of these. All right, up until the pandemic, it was illegal to do this at work in France. What is it?
In France?
Yes.
Eat it? I don't know. I don't know.
All right, here it is. Eat lunch at your desk.
Damn it, I was going to say that.
No, you were not.
I was.
Bullshit.
I said eat.
You were not going to say that.
I said eat, but that was too obvious, especially in France.
Yeah.
You should do it. I mean, there's food in our keyboards at work.
Yeah, no, I understand. And a lot of it's from when me and Jason back in the day were eating. it's still there. Those are the original keyboards.
I know.
And original computers. All right. The entire stock of 1 million of these were amazingly sold in 1996. You know, normally you have an item for sale, you don't sell all of them. But the entire stock of 1 million of these were sold in 1996.
What the fuck?
It's a toy.
It's a toy. Silly putty.
No. Tickle me, Elmo. Tickle me, Elmo.
Not going to guess that.
All right. Last one, then we'll get to the
last one.
Email bag. There are only 25 of these in the world, though they are often synonymous with major sporting events. There's only 25 of them in the entire world.
Championship trophies?
No. Blimps. The famous Goodyear blimp.
Yeah.
Over the Rose Bowl, looking live.
Stationed here in Carson, California.
That is right. But that is technically, the air station is east of the 405.
It is.
Not west of the 405.
No.
East.
Yeah. I don't think anyone representing Carson is going to say west of the 405. Get what I'm saying?
Are you implying something, guest guy? Would you like to expand on that?
Well, we'll do it in the next. We'll do it in the next podcast next week.
Okay. All right. Mailbag. These are actual questions sent in by actual listeners, submitted via Facebook, Ben Maller Show, or The Real Fifth Hour. @gmail.com. All right, Pierre in Springfield, Mass. writes in, says, Ben, what are the odds that Bo the Show fills in on a more permanent basis on the podcast? The two of you had a great rapport, and he provided that he actually listens to the show and that he relates to the callers. He also provided great feedback to your questions and had witty comebacks. Please let me know. That's Pierre in Springfield. Well, Pierre, listen, Bo was wonderful, as you point out there. Just really relatable to the common man and tremendous there. A colossal, grandiose appearance by Bo the Show there. And I think we'll be hearing more from Bo the Show. I think we'll be hearing more. I
want to let Pierre know that, first of all, Bo is actually engaged. He's going to get married soon. He is not available for you. So you can fellatio somebody else if you'd like.
Wow.
But yeah, Bo is taken. Sorry about that. Move along, Ben Miller.
Okay. Interesting reaction there. This one's from Vols fan Jimmy in Fayetteville, Tennessee. He says, Ben, have you ever stayed at the Cecil Hotel? And do you have any plans when they reopen in October? I didn't know they were reopening. I thought they were permanently closed, the Cecil. Now, for those who don't know, the Cecil Hotel is a legendary hotel on Skid Row.
Yeah.
In L.A., where many people have met their demise. This goes back to, like, the 20s. Like, this is old Hollywood, early L.A. history, where, you know, people would commit suicide and there would be murder. And it was horrible. And they've done documentaries about this, and there have been stories written about it. And, like, a bunch of people have committed suicide there. There's, like, a curse on that hotel. I generally try to avoid that area. There is a pretty good French dip place not far away from the Hotel Cecil.
That's right.
That I will go to from time to time. And but that's about it. I mean, I'm guessing it's different now. Last time I was there, actually, I went to the world's coolest or oldest or whatever bookstore, biggest bookstore. And it's right near Skid Row. And Skid Row had moved. Like, there was a point of demarcation where, like, it was like you're in L.A. It was downtown L.A. It was kind of nice. And then you cross the street and it's... Whee! The hard scrabble streets. And but yeah, the hotel's right in that area. You go down to that area, Gascon? You've been to the Hotel Cecil? You want me to book your room there?
I have driven by there a handful of occasions, but I did because the chief used to work down there at Parker Center in downtown LA. So,
oh, yes.
It is fascinating. The streets that you drive down and you don't want to drive down in LA, it is yeah, it's something pretty delicate. Especially
the place that is Kohl's, by the way. That's the
the
French dip place. If you're in L.A., it's right there on 6th Street. And just like a couple of steps away from there is the start of what used to be the start of Skid Row.
Yeah. There's a speakeasy attached to that, too.
Yeah, there's a speakeasy. And that's a famous building. That building I'm having a blank here, but that's a building where in the early days of LA, there's something famous happened in that building. I forget what, but I'm having a mental block here.
You know, the Edison factory was a couple blocks down too, right?
That was the meat of downtown LA. That was the main point there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's at Main Street. Is that the point of demarcation?
Yeah.
For Skid Row?
Yeah.
Is that it? I think it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go eastbound on the 10 freeway, you get off on San Pedro Street, and then you get to Main, and it's
yeah. So Kohl's is not that it really matters if you're not in California or LA, but Kohl's is on the corner of 6th Street and Main.
Yeah.
Which is right there. That's like the point it all goes sideways. But I've never been to the Cecil Hotel, and I think I'm good on that. Chris in Iowa writes in. He says, if you could interview anyone in the world for your podcast, who would it be?
President Trump for you, for sure.
I'd put Trump on, sure. Yeah, I'd put Trump on because half the people would be freaked out.
Elon Musk would be a lot of fun.
Elon Musk would be good. Joe Rogan would be interesting. Yeah. He does a bunch of podcasts. Howard Stern, you know. So can't have Rush on now, unfortunately. But some people I listened to back in the day on radio would be neat to have on. Do we need to up our game here, Chris and Iowa? Or you want to recommend some bigger names here? You're not satisfied with the quality of the conversations we have on our Friday podcast? Kent in Colorado writes in on the mailbag. He says, what kind of crazy world are we living in where a 22-year-old wannabe gets a 14-year mega deal? And a Hall of Famer, Johnny Bench, has to hawk his memorabilia to pay bills. Yeah, he's not happy with the Fernando Tatis Jr. contract with the Padres. Well, Kent, listen, this is the way life works, right? If Johnny Bench had been born and lived the same life, years later, then he would be the one getting the $300 million contract. But he wasn't, and he lived in a different age. His salad days were in a different age, and that's just how it works. So... yeah, I mean, it's actually fortunate that Johnny Bench can hawk his memorabilia and be able to pay his bills and all that, and Pete Rose still can sign a million autographs, and the value of a Pete Rose autograph isn't worth much because he signed everything. reminds me when I was a kid, there was a pitcher, Hall of Fame pitcher, Bob Feller, and Bob Feller was a Cleveland Indians guy, and he would sign everything, too, but only at autograph shows, and so his autograph, by the time he passed away, was not worth much of anything because he signed everything.
Wow.
All right, Adrian in the Mile High City writes, and he's got a bunch of questions. He says, Ben and Gascon, he says, the Bo Show was disgusting, he says. Well, this is one of your guys, Gascon.
Mm.
He says, listening to the Saturday pop quiz portion of the podcast, he was surprised that 40% of people wouldn't want to share a sandwich. Yeah, if you cut said sandwich in half, Adrian says, I could understand sharing it, but he was talking about strategically biting around the already bitten part to share. That's gross. Yeah, I agree with you, Adrian. It's pretty disgusting. Then he says, my family and I had lunch at IHOP recently, and we are now at 50% capacity in the Denver area.
Nice.
Inside the restaurant, there were signs at all the tables saying masks are required at all times unless you are actively eating or drinking. My wife and I thought that was ridiculous and kept our masks off during the entire meal. Your thoughts? I'm right there with you, Adrian. Yes, I think it's the dumbest thing. There's a restaurant. I've been spending a lot of time in Orange County. One of my favorite Mexican restaurants. My family used to go there when I was a kid. And I've been going there. And, they have the deal where you have to have your mask on. But it's like when you stand up, you're supposed to have your mask on. So you sit down, and I guess the corona is no big deal and all. The rules are so wonky on this. Not a fan, Gascon.
People are absolutely crushing Florida, and it's phenomenal. It's laughable now because we had the big pandemonium about Alabama with their national title and people partying in Tuscaloosa, and the same thing with Florida, particularly Tampa Bay with the Super Bowl and the Bucks winning it, and people were on the streets or people were on their boat parades and doing all that stuff on the water. And you look at cases of the coronavirus in Florida have decreased, and they're even less than the state of California and the state of New York, and they've actually had lockdowns. It is fucking laughable. And, obviously a lot of this is just driven by politics, but you crush the guys that you want, and you celebrate the ones that are drastically different, like a guy like Governor Cuomo. It's fucking a joke, but you know, I mean, other countries are doing things drastically different too, and they're still living life. And in the same breath, you look at politicians and celebrities. They don't do the same shit that are required of what the common folk are. So it's a big fucking joke. It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
Yeah. Nah, listen, I agree. And the thing that I don't know if I worry about it, but I just like, how do we get out of it? Like, so many political hacks are so invested in the mask and the restrictions, and it's like it's feeding their egos. So it we do need places like Florida and other places that are not run by the Mama Lukes who want to have all these restrictions. It's just insane. So I'm absolutely. I mean, how can you not pull for Florida? And it's so funny to go back and do a search on the internet of all those stories. The hack media were reporting, oh my God, everyone's going to die in Florida. The governor should be put up on murder charges. Oh my God, this is the worst thing in the world. Yeah. Pearl clutching is what we call it. A lot of pearl clutching.
Yeah.
A lot of faux outrage. Faux outrage. Sky is falling. Chicken Little, Chicken Little, Chicken Little. The sky is falling. Adrian also says, what are your thoughts on the Nolan Arenado trade? He says, I am so angry, Adrian in the Mile High City says, so angry with the Rockies front office and Dick and Charlie Monfort, the owners, that I will not be a Rocky fan this season. Well, good job by you, Adrian. Because listen, the way I look at this, a real fan, you want to be a fan who's loyal, but you don't want to be loyal to a fault. You should be a discerning customer. And if the team's not trying to win, if the team's not putting an effort to put a good baseball team on the field, why the hell are you going to pay attention to it? He says he's going to be a fan of Doc Mike's team, the Northside team in Chicago. Mm. He says they're going to be my second favorite team there. He's going to follow.
Hey, it wouldn't be bad if he was a Chicago White Sox fan either. They should have a pretty good run this year.
Yeah, they're one of the darlings of the baseball world in 2021. Yeah. He says, Gascon, what are the Broncos' chances of landing Deshaun Watson?
Fuck.
Denver would have to trade the farm, but I think they should do it.
Yeah, I think they should too. I mean, the last time they've actually hit on a quarterback was Manning, and he was a free agent, obviously, at that time. But they've swung and missed since Manning, and they swung and missed for a while since Elway retired. I mean, the last good quarterback they had prior to Manning, I think, was Jake Plummer. And even him, he didn't get that good of a run, and Shanahan benched him for Jay Cutler. I'd mortgage the farm for a guy like Deshaun Watson. I know you're not a big Watson fan, but I'd take Watson.
He's soft. He can't even handle Twitter.
I'd take Watson. I'd take Watson, though, over Drew Locke 10 times out of 10 times. So, they got problems everywhere, but the quarterback situation kind of fixes a lot of those things. So I'd take
not necessarily. The Texans won 4 games and they had Deshaun Watson. So I don't know how it fixes a lot of things.
Yeah, but it wasn't the offense that was the problem. Their defense was god awful.
A lot of empty stats there, my man.
Oh,
fall for the zombie stats.
I completely agree. But at least you could pile those up. Drew Locke can't even do that right.
Well, he's good for one or two really good games a year. It was against Carolina. He looked like John Elway.
He did.
He looked amazing.
He looked like a world beater.
Yeah. Then he went back to being the. Looks more like Mark Wilson after the old Raider quarterback. Yeah. There's an outdated reference. Last one from Adrian. He says, Ben, please tell me the story of you almost trampling Casey Kasem in the hallway at Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, Adrian, I can tell you the truncated version of that. So this is many, many years ago. Obviously, Casey Kasem passed away a number of years ago. Casey Kasem was one of the voice actors on Scooby-Dooby-Doo. He was Shaggy, right? He was Shaggy on Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
I think he did Transformers, too.
Yeah, he did a bunch of stuff. And he hosted, he was a big part of American pop culture. He hosted Casey Kasem's Countdown Show, which was syndicated on thousands of radio stations across the country. He's a legend in my business, in our business. And so anyway, Casey, we work out of the Premier Networks in L.A., and Fox Sports Radio's main studio, right across the hall, was the Casey Kasem voice studio, where Casey Kasem would go in a little booth and, not much of anything, and he would sit in there and he would voice scripts for the Countdown and do his thing. And so in the early days of Fox Sports Radio, I did a lot of shifts. I was a utility guy. I worked weekends, but then I'd fill in during the week. And I had one stretch where for like 6 months I was doing a show during the middays with Chris Myers, the big TV guy from Fox. I kid because I care. Chris Myers. So anyway, I was doing the show with him, and you know, I was a pretty big guy at the time. I'm still a big guy, but I was much bigger then. And you know, it was a lunchtime show, and we were eating, whatever, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I went down to the bathroom, and as I remember the story, and the story's evolved over the years, but this is how I remember it today, Adrian. So I was in the bathroom. It's getting close to the show coming back. I get out of the bathroom. I'd washed my hands. I get out of the bathroom. And then I hear the music like we're coming back, you know, because it was on the speakers in the hallway. And so then I start freaking out. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm not going to be there. They're back on the air. Myers is going to be on the air. I need to be there with Myers. I'm part of the show. I got to be in there. So I start running down this hallway, right? I run down the hall to try to get into the studio so I don't miss any of the show. So it takes me a little while to build up some speed. So I'm running down the hallway. Then I have to make a quick left, and then there's a weird corner. There's like an intersection corner with another hallway. So I make a left, then I've got to make a quick right. All right, so I make a left and a right, and then as I'm making the left and turning right, and I'm right near the studio door, a very petite, very small, very fragile, very, fragile is the right word, Casey Kasem, has come out of his little radio booth where he's doing voiceovers. He then, it's time slowed down because I'm going at a pretty fair rate of speed. I'm almost at my destination. Casey comes out of the door. He's standing in the hallway. And he freezes and gives me this look like, oh, my God, I'm about to meet my maker. Oh, my God, I am going to die by being trampled by this wildebeest. It was that kind of thing. But fortunately, I used a swim technique that I learned in high school football. I used the swim technique, and I was able to move around Casey Kasem to avoid not only his premature demise, but my demise, because I would have never worked in radio again if I had taken out the great Casey Kasem. So I saved my career, and I saved, at least for a few years, because I know he passed away several years after that, the great Casey Kasem. And it was cool. He used to show up to the premiere parties, the big premiere radio networks parties that we had back in the day. And I got to meet him a few times, and he was a cool guy. Legend in the business, Casey Kasem. I know he's a legend because my parents listened to him when they were, you know, kids and stuff. So you know you've been around the block a few times when your parents would listen to somebody on the radio. That was pretty cool. John in Shoreline, Washington writes, and he says, the furthest you've driven in one day. He says he made it from Seattle to Bakersfield, 17 hours last Friday. Well, that is impressive. Impressive, John. It's all downhill, right, from the north to the south. No. The furthest I've driven in one day, I've done the San Francisco, L.A. thing a bit. I've done Sacramento, L.A. I've done Phoenix, L.A. I think that's about it. And my brother went to Salt Lake in a day. I've not done that. What about you, Gascon?
Yeah, I've gone San Diego to Sacramento, San Francisco, gone to Arizona from L.A. That's not too long. Probably the fucking longest I've ever had, though, not distance-wise, but time-wise, was L.A. to Las Vegas, coming back from that on a Memorial Day weekend on a Monday.
That's a rookie mistake by you, I guess.
No, I did
a rookie mistake.
I did it in the evening time, and it took me 10 fucking hours.
Yeah.
No, it's normally a 4.5-hour drive from Vegas to L.A. or back, and it took me 10 hours.
You're better off just going to, like, Prim. Just going to Prim and sitting there at Buffalo Bill's and having a McDonald's and a beer.
Gun to my head.
That's it. You go to that little mall there in Prim, which has all the outlet shops. That's it. John the Jailer from Allentown, PA writes, and he says, Ben, on the Maller scale, 1 to 10, how excited are you that Bobby Shmurdra, is that how you say it, is out of prison?
The fuck is that?
Apparently, this guy is a Brooklyn rapper. I guess he was in jail for 6 years. I don't know who he is. Have you heard of that person?
Never heard of him.
I have no idea who that is. Rita writes in. She says, I heard you say you listened to Art Bell back in the day. What story do you remember most about Art? Oh, I loved Art. The great thing, and it's really the gift that separates people on radio that are the top people. I'm trying to get to that point. Storytelling. And the other thing is Art could make the most boring, benign topic fascinating. And he would put people on his show that most other people, most reasonable people would say, this person's a space cadet. What are you doing? And Art would listen, and this was the gift. He would listen to these people, right, who are a cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And, you know, he wouldn't mock and ridicule them, and he would listen. And I remember when he would have the Hollow Earth people on, which is ironic because I've had interactions with the Hollow Earth people from doing the overnight show at Fox. And when we were talking about Kyrie and the Flat Earth, I had some Hollow Earth people call up who still send me propaganda. So that, and I also remember meeting Art. I had the good fortune. Art lived in Nevada. He did the show from Pahrump, Nevada, famously. The Kingdom of Nye. You know why he called it the Kingdom of Nye?
Tell me.
Because it was in Nye County, I guess was the county he broadcast from. So he says the Kingdom of Nye. But Art was... Were you a listener, by the way? Did you listen to Art Bell?
Did
you?
I did not, no.
Yeah, that was his catchphrase. The Kingdom of Nye, and I loved Coast to Coast. And it was, yeah, he was from Nye County. The show was from Nye County, Nevada. But Art, they dragged him out to Los Angeles for the premiere Christmas parties. And he was at one at the Beverly Hills, which hotel was it? The Hilton? Is that the one?
Was it the Beverly Hills Hotel?
It might have been we had one there.
Yeah.
There were two different hotels in Beverly Hills we had Christmas parties at. But anyway, they brought in all the big premiere stars, and Art was there. And I briefly met him, which was pretty cool. As a radio nerd, that was pretty neat. But I just remember listening to Art, and the big Art thing was before 2000, the Y2K, which everyone thought all the computers in the world were going to shut down because we were flipping from 1999 to the year 2000. And Art did so many shows about that, and then like nothing happened. nothing happened. So those are some of the things I remember about Art, but just a legend, just a gift to the overnights, to the nocturnal crowd. I fell in love with Art. My parents listened to Art Bell. My parents were night people, and they would listen to Art. And then I listen. I know George does a great job, too, on Coast to Coast. And it's pretty cool because George does the show. He does the show from St. Louis some of the year, but he's out of our building. And I would park next to George Norrie from time to time. And I'd meet him. And I remember one time the original Fox Sports Radio studios were right across the hall from Coast to Coast from their studio. And then we moved downstairs to our Showcase studios, which were Showcase 20 years ago. And but they were renovating those a couple years back, so we had to go back to the original Fox Sports Radio studios, and we were invading Coast to Coast's space. So we were getting like the side eye from the Coast to Coast guys, like, what's going on here? You know, what are you doing? You know, that kind of thing.
They're still renovating here, by the way.
Yeah, never ending the renovation. Never end the renovation. Now, Iowa Made Dave from West Des Moines writes, and he says, are you a user of Mr. Doc Mike's urine mouthwash? I am not, but Gascon is. Gascon, you want to give a review of that?
Didn't he say that he was going to mail you some? Or he's going to mail you a book, right?
No, he's mailed me. I have a whole stack of books. I have, right next to me here is Healing Water from Within, Brother Sage. We have that. Fascinating book.
Oh, man.
And my favorite part of the book is they go into detail how you can use urine as an eye wash. You can use it as eye wash. I think that's a form of pornography. People enjoy that. But there's a whole book about this. It's amazing. Mouthwash, eye wash, you name it. Fascinating. Big Mike from Cortland, New York, the Crown City, says, Ben, do you have any hot mic stories? Did you do it or have you witnessed one? Oh, of course. We have tons of stories. The one I will share with you right now because it's in my head. When I was doing the Blitz with Looney, and we were doing the show, doing our thing, you know, whatever, on Sundays for it was like a seven-hour situation. Just went on and on and on and on, breaking down football games. And it was the never-ending thing. And but me and Looney, we like to talk shop, you know, talk about the gossip of the radio station or the radio business in general. And we do that during the commercial breaks. And not that we ever break. So we would just be talking. And so we are in mid-conversation, and we are just charbroiling someone in radio that we were talking about. There was a big story this person was involved in. And our engineer, the great Steve Stillwell, I'll say his name. I don't think he'll mind. So he walks down to get a beverage, and then he proceeds to walk back, right? Proceeds to walk back. In a panic, and he's waving his hands frantically outside the glass window because apparently he had forgotten to turn the mics down, and the mics were on the entire time, and everything we were saying was being broadcast. Oh. But there were commercials playing, so you couldn't really hear everything. But, you know, if you were listening intently, you could hear it, right?
Fuck.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
That is wild. Man.
It was unfortunate.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate.
Who was the person you were talking about?
We'll move that to another podcast down the line. Will in Springfield writes in. He says, what's everyone's death row meal? I need specific place for the chicken fingers, Ben, by the way. Well, there's two places. It's obviously Raising Cane's, which is the gold standard. And also The Landing in Liberty, Missouri, the home of the Ben Maller Chicken Fingers. All our listeners in Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas, all over that area within driving distance. The only place in the United States you can get the Ben Maller Chicken Fingers is at The Landing. I want to point out, Gascon, they are actually a sponsor of my weekly radio segment.
Are they?
In Kansas City. Yeah, every Thursday morning I go on with Bob Fesco Josh and the guys there, and we schmooze is what we do. We schmooze. What would be your final meal?
I don't know, but I think no matter what, you have to have French fries with your last meal, right?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the joke. You know, the guy from the warden comes in and says, all right, it's your final meal. What do you want? And he said, and then you say, well, what are you out of?
It's good. That is good, man.
You would obviously, the joke is you'd want a multi-course meal too, right? You'd want
seven-course meal.
I'd like to stretch that out over a couple of days, you know, meal today, meal tomorrow, meal the next day, you know, kind of milk that a little bit.
Yeah.
Fats from Philadelphia, got time for a few more. Fats from Philadelphia says, when this pandemic is over, would you be willing to travel east to the Susquehanna River? Is that how you say it? I think I said it right. No, I did not. To participate in a Mallerman March in Philadelphia, he says. Then also have a mini one in Amish country, Fat says. We can have you on an Amish buggy. Can make this happen, guaranteed. Oh, yeah, Fats, I would love that. Now, do you think we have a big enough reach in the greater Philadelphia area? We've only been on there for a relatively short amount of time on The Gambler. Philadelphia.
I think if you make an appearance, I think if you want to bump that number up, you should have a special guest on, Tony Bruno.
Oh, well, Tony's the king of Philadelphia.
So there you go. So I think that would definitely...
Yeah, but I'm saying if I just made an appearance, it wasn't on the radio. Like, I know we have a lot of listeners in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it could be northern New Jersey, not southern New Jersey. But yeah, if we had enough, I would love to do it. It'd be great to hang out with Fats. That guy Fats is a character.
Yeah.
Like to hang out with that guy. He's a party. The guy lights himself on fire screaming my name. Who does that? He does that. That's who does that. My God. Unbelievable. Mike in Vegas writes in, says, besides the Dodgers, who do you think is a legitimate contender to win the World Series? The Commissioner's Trophy, a.k.a. the hunk of metal. This to me is pretty simple. On my big board, I have the three teams in the National League. It's like that old thing we used to do with Tiger, where you either, you know, Tiger or the field.
Yeah.
If you gave me six teams and you take everyone else, I'll take those six teams and I will have the World Series winner. My six teams are the Dodgers, Padres, and Braves in the National League, Yankees, White Sox, and Blue Jays in the American League. You can have everyone else. I'll take those six teams. One of those six teams is going to win the World Series.
Yeah.
What say you?
I'm right there with you. I think.
Okay, you agree with me.
I think in the National League, especially the Dodgers and the Padres, I maybe push back a little bit on the Braves. I mean, I know Acuna's a monster, but Outside of that, on the American League side, I think it's the Yankees. I'll be curious to see what happens with the Tampa Bay Rays. I know losing Blake Snell is going to hurt them a little bit, but I still think they have plenty.
The Rays are always like, they're always pretty good.
Yeah.
Because they do things an odd way. But the Marlins, or not the Marlins, the Atlanta Braves, I'm telling you, the Braves are going to be right there.
Yeah.
Again. I am all about that action.
Yeah, it sounds like you are.
I hate to say that, but my friend, the great Jerome Drenovich. We should get Jerome Drenovich on in Atlanta. He does, last I heard, he was doing Braves games.
Jerome Drenovich.
They did add, not that I like him because he's a cheating Astro, but they added Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
He's their number two starter. They got Max Fried, right? I think that's the number one. And they've got a decent rotation. Not a great rotation. A little top heavy there with Morton and Fried, the top two guys. But the lineup with Acuna and Freddie Freeman and Marcelo Ozuna is back. Right. And Ozzie Albies is a pretty good ball player. I hate to give the Bravos credit, but that's a pretty good team. I don't think they changed anybody in the lineup. I think the lineup's the same lineup they had last year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they've been on the come for the last couple of years anyway, so you expect them to go a little bit deeper into the Fall Classic anyway.
Yeah, and their bullpen's okay. I mean, I don't know if it's the greatest bullpen in the world, but yeah. So I get the Braves on that list. And other than that, I don't think there's anyone else other than those six teams. You're going to go Oakland A's.
Oakland A's will be good for like some amazing stretch run, and people start talking about them, and then they'll just flame out the tail end or in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not putting the cheating Astros on that list. They had a bad record last season, and I don't think they'll be much better this year.
Angels in their last run with one Fat Albert Pujols.
Win one for Fat Albert?
Yeah.
I'm going to go no on that. I think we're good on that. I think that's it. We'll put the baby to bed. So if we didn't get to your question, I apologize. Also, I apologize for not getting that up. I usually put this up on Wednesday morning, but I had a brain fart, and I didn't put this up on Facebook until very late Wednesday night. So thank you guys for answering the bugle call to fill the mailbag. Otherwise, we would have had no mailbag, and we would have just tap danced here. We would have tap danced. So listen, big night tonight. Bennies are tonight. We're going to wear our tuxedos. We're going to dress up. We're going to walk down the red carpet. Big party, a virtual party on the radio. We'll give out all kinds of awards celebrating mediocrity in marginal overnight sports radio. If you have not voted yet, please, I stress, go to my Twitter feed, scroll down, page down, page down, scroll down, vote for the Twitter awards. Also vote for all of the other Bennies for great moments on the show and whatnot, the big contributors. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you again for supporting the podcast, subscribing to the podcast, and listening every weekend. Otherwise, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble, and we'll catch you next time.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.